All right, welcome in everyone to the deep dive. We're diving into a pretty significant legal case today. It's DeMarco v. Lynch Homes.
Okay.
And we've been going through a lot of the opinions and the analysis surrounding this case to kind of give everyone like the essential understanding
Yeah.
of what this decision really means, especially if you're trying to figure out how far a doctor's legal responsibilities can actually go, sometimes even, beyond the person they're treating directly.
Right.
So our mission here is to break down this ruling. It's a landmark case, and we want to pinpoint like what was the core logic of the court, and then also explain what it means both for the medical field and the law moving forward. So to kick things off, let's just get right into it. What happened? What are we even talking about here? What led to this lawsuit in the first place?
So this all took place back in 1985 in Pennsylvania. And it involved a blood technician named Janet Vichicchini. She was accidentally exposed to blood that was contaminated with hepatitis B. And so after this, she sought medical advice from two doctors, Dr. Giunta and Dr. Alwine. And they advised her that if she didn't develop any symptoms within 6 weeks, then she wasn't infected, and that she should abstain from sexual activity during that 6-week period. So following their advice, after 8 weeks, she resumed her relationship with her partner, Joseph DeMarco. Unfortunately, both Janet and Joseph were later diagnosed with hepatitis B.
Oh no.
So the main argument of the lawsuit that followed was that these doctors were negligent because they didn't warn her about the risk of transmission for a much longer period, like 6 months.
So, I mean, just to be clear here, DeMarco, the partner, he's the one suing the doctors, right?
That's right.
But the thing is, he wasn't actually their patient.
Right.
So this brings up a very interesting legal question.
What?
Like, when does a doctor's duty of care actually extend to someone they're not directly treating? Like, how does that even work? Can you kind of walk us through that a little bit, what the traditional legal thinking was?
Yeah, so traditionally there's this legal concept called privity, which is really important in these types of situations. Essentially, privity just means that there's a direct contractual relationship between two parties.
Got it.
And in a normal doctor-patient situation, that relationship exists.
Right.
But because DeMarco wasn't actually a patient of these doctors,
Yeah.
the trial court initially dismissed his case.
Oh, wow.
And their reasoning was that they didn't owe him any sort of duty of care because there was no direct professional connection between them. Interestingly, they did make a comment that maybe things would have been different if Janet and Joseph had been married, which kind of suggests that, maybe there would have been a legal duty arising from a marriage bond. So you can see that the initial court's perspective was really focused on this idea of a direct relationship, no direct patient, no legal duty.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating and kind of, I guess, maybe even outdated sounding perspective now, that like marriage could potentially dictate medical duty of care, but obviously the case didn't end there. It went on to a higher court.
Exactly. The Superior Court reviewed that dismissal and they actually reversed it. And this is where this legal principle of foreseeability comes into play. So the Superior Court basically argued that the harm to DeMarco was foreseeable. In other words, if Janet wasn't given the right information about the risk of transmitting the disease, it was reasonable to predict that her partner could also become infected. So ultimately, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court also upheld this reversal, which really set a precedent for when a doctor's responsibility can extend beyond just the patient they're treating.
So that's huge, right? I mean, that means that the court was saying, yes, a duty can exist even if there isn't that direct doctor-patient relationship. So what was the core of their reasoning? What led them to believe that the doctors did have a responsibility to DeMarco even though he wasn't their patient?
Well, the majority opinion really emphasized this idea of public health. And they recognized that communicable diseases aren't just a private matter between, a doctor and a patient. It has much wider implications, for the community.
Yeah, it affects everyone.
And they specifically relied on Section 324A of the Restatement Second of Torts, which basically says that if someone provides a service that they know is necessary for the protection of a third person and they don't do it properly, or they're negligent in doing it, and that causes harm to the third person, then they can be held liable.
Okay, so let's dive into that a little bit more. How did they connect the doctor's advice to Janet with this idea of providing a service to protect someone else, like DeMarco?
So they made this analogy where they argued that the doctor's advice to Janet about how to prevent spreading hepatitis B wasn't just for her own benefit.
Right.
It was fundamentally about preventing the spread of the disease to anyone she might come in contact with.
Okay.
So by telling her that 6 weeks of abstinence was enough when, you know, medically speaking, the risk period was longer, they failed in their duty to protect people like DeMarco.
Right.
They even said that doctors are the first line of defense against the spread of these kinds of diseases.
That's a good point.
Which highlights their role in protecting public health.
Yeah.
And importantly, they directly addressed what the trial court had said about mirrors. They basically said that anyone physically intimate with the patient is at risk, whether they're married or not.
Interesting.
So they really rejected that narrow view.
Yeah, so it really seems like they are moving away from that strict idea of a contract,
yeah,
you know, progivity, and towards this focus on who else might be impacted, this broader public health perspective.
Exactly.
But as with, you know, many significant legal decisions, there was also a dissenting opinion.
Yes.
What were some of the concerns that Justice Flaherty brought up?
So Justice Flaherty has some pretty serious concerns about the case.
Okay.
And his main argument was that expanding liability without that traditional prudity, you know, the direct relationship, was dangerous.
Okay.
And he even brought up a previous case, Guy v. Lederbach, which dealt with the liability of attorneys and the need for a direct relationship, like a client or a specific agreement, before a professional can be held responsible for negligence towards someone who isn't their client.
Okay.
So Flaherty was worried that using foreseeability as the main standard was way too broad.
Yeah.
And that it could be really unfair to doctors.
Okay, how so?
He thought it could force doctors to ask way too many questions about their patients' personal lives to figure out who all might be at risk.
That makes sense.
Which could be really impractical and even damage the relationship between a doctor and a patient.
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants their doctor prying into every aspect of their life.
Right.
So it sounds like the dissenting justice was worried that this decision might lead to a ton of lawsuits and create unrealistic expectations for doctors. How did the majority opinion respond to these concerns?
Well, they did acknowledge these concerns, but they said that the duty they were establishing was actually very specific and limited. It wasn't about, you know, expanding liability for every little medical mistake. Mm-hmm. It was specifically about cases where there was a known risk of transmitting a communicable disease.
Right.
So they argued that this wasn't about general foreseeability in every medical situation.
Yeah.
It was about a very particular situation.
Okay.
Where the risk to other people is obvious and serious.
Yeah.
And where the doctor's advice directly affects whether or not that risk can be prevented.
Okay.
So while the dissent was worried about this leading to all kinds of problems, the majority was trying to create a specific and a well-defined exception.
So a focused expansion of duty in a particular area where public health is a major concern, as opposed to just getting rid of all the traditional legal boundaries altogether. Okay, so after all that back and forth and all the different viewpoints, what specific legal test did DeMarco put in place for deciding when a doctor has a duty of care to a third party when it comes to communicable diseases?
Yeah.
This seems like a really important thing for anyone who's interested in this area of the law.
Definitely. It's super important. The court laid out a very clear four-part test to figure this out.
Okay.
So first, the doctor has to be treating or examining a patient who has a communicable disease.
All right, number one.
Number two, the doctor has to know that giving the right advice to the patient is necessary to protect other people from getting infected.
Okay.
Number three, the person who ends up getting harmed has to be in what they call a foreseeable orbit of risk.
Okay.
And they specifically mentioned someone who's in a physically intimate relationship with the patient, as we talked about before.
Right, right.
And finally, the harm that the third party experiences has to be directly caused by the bad advice that the doctor gave to the patient. So all four of these things have to be there for a court to say that a doctor had a duty of care to that third person under the DeMarco ruling.
Got it. A four-part test, and they all have to be present. So stepping back a bit, what were some of the broader implications of this decision? What should people who are interested in medical law or public health really take away from DeMarco?
I think the biggest impact is how it shifted the way we think about negligence. at least in Pennsylvania, moving away from this strict idea of privity, especially when public health is at risk. The court made it clear that, at least in these specific types of situations, whether or not the harm to someone else was foreseeable is a really important part of deciding if a doctor had a duty of care.
Okay.
And for doctors, this ruling really highlights how important it is to give their patients accurate and detailed information about communicable diseases, including explaining all the risks of transmission and the precautions they need to take and how long they need to take those precautions.
Right.
And this is where the 6 weeks versus the longer incubation period for hepatitis B really comes in.
Exactly, yeah.
And while, yeah, there were some worries at first that this decision might lead to more lawsuits from third parties, in reality, courts are probably going to continue to be careful about making sure that the risk was really foreseeable.
Okay.
And that the doctor was actually negligent in a way that directly caused the harm.
That makes sense.
But ultimately, DeMarco reinforces this idea that doctors have a really important role to play in public health.
Yeah.
They need to make sure they're giving their patients the right information to stop the spread of infection to others.
Right.
The court even used a really powerful analogy. They compared a doctor who doesn't properly inform their patient about a communicable disease to a hacker who unleashes a virus.
Wow.
Which really emphasizes how much harm can be done.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
So for anyone who's following along, this decision is really key in understanding how the law tries to balance the rights of individuals with the need to protect public health.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance for sure.
Yeah.
So to sum up our deep dive into DeMarco v. Lynch Holmes, it seems like it really changed how we think about a physician's duty of care. It broadened it to include foreseeable third parties, especially when it comes to communicable diseases.
Yeah.
And this change was driven by recognizing how important public health is and focusing on whether the harm was foreseeable rather than just whether there was a direct relationship between the doctor and the patient.
Exactly.
And that has a big impact on how medical professionals advise their patients today and the legal responsibilities they have.
It's a super important case. It really shows the connection between individual medical care and the responsibility to protect public health as a whole. And it created a clear legal framework for figuring out when a doctor has a duty to a third party, specifically when it comes to communicable diseases.
All right. Well, that was a really interesting and insightful deep dive into DeMarco v. Lynch Holmes. It really makes you think about how the responsibilities of professionals are changing and how the law is adapting to address these really critical needs in society, like protecting everyone's health.
Yeah.
So on that note, here's something for everyone to think about as we wrap up. Given that new infectious diseases are always popping up,
right,
and public health challenges are constantly changing.
Yes.
How might those core principles from DeMarco continue to shape the responsibilities of not just medical professionals, but also other people or groups who give advice or provide services that could affect public health on a large scale?
Yeah.
It's definitely something to keep in mind, especially as the world keeps changing around us.
For sure.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.